Willkommen zu China Connect, dem Podcast des China Competence Training Centers. Mit freundlicher Unterstützung des Bundesministeriums für Bildung und Forschung.
Welcome to another episode of China Connect. My name is Oliver Hasse and as always I'm joined by Isabel.
Hello everyone. I'm really excited to co-host this episode of our podcast. And in today's episode, we'll be talking about investment, ecosystems, and talent development, and how these themes connect Germany, China, and also global innovation hubs.
Our guest today is Erin Bargeld, an investor and ecosystem builder with a long-standing experience in the US, Germany, and China. Erin has been active in Berlin's startup ecosystem for more than 15 years with a strong focus on e-commerce and technology-driven business models.
She has been involved in the early stages of several successful companies, including Delivery Hero, and has invested in and supported around 10 startups. Beyond investing, Erin is deeply engaged in building and supporting innovation ecosystems. And she is also involved with XQ University in Potsdam, which focuses on AI and entrepreneurial education.
Erin, a very warm welcome to our podcast. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be with you.
You have a fascinating background from technology entrepreneurship to investing and ecosystem building. Could you share a bit more about your personal journey and what brought you into the role of an investor?
Well, I come from a very international background. I was born in China, grew up in the US, and have now been in Berlin for the last 15 years or so. I studied mathematics, worked as a software programmer myself before co-founding companies, startups in the US, in China, and also in Berlin. And at a certain point, I became interested in not just developing my own projects, but also supporting that of others around me. And that especially, you know, as also I get older, makes more sense for me to invest as well as, foster the development of the ecosystem around the technical and other ecosystems around me.
You and, in fact, your family's story reflects a kind of textbook evolution from building companies to achieving significant exit to reinvesting time and capital into new startups. What motivated you and other members of your family to go this path?
Well, I think that's a fairly, as you say, textbook trajectory. I mean, first of all, one has the luck, right, of developing something successful and also the experience. There's always the interest to share that with other people and to make use of that experience and resources from that experience for other projects. So I think that is a very natural trajectory. And also, I think one can only scale so much, right, by oneself. So in that sense, supporting other teams and other projects enables scaling in a way that's not possible in a fully just as a startup founder kind of direction.
So you have been investing in Germany for many years and you bring an international and of course also a Chinese perspective. You have experienced multiple innovation hubs, Berlin, of course, but also the Silicon Valley and China. So how would you compare these ecosystems in terms of mindset, speed and collaboration?
Well, I think speed-wise, I have to say China is the fastest. Yeah, China likes to do everything very, very fast. And I think from a German or European perspective, often careless in some ways, as in just rushing forward without necessarily planning everything out. And Silicon Valley is, I think, somewhere in between. I mean, it is a well-known motto from Silicon Valley, to move fast and break things. And I think it's also good to be able to, you know, think exactly about the things that one is breaking. Yeah.
Okay, so that sounds like there are similarities between Silicon Valley and China. Maybe Berlin is a little bit the odd one out. What is it like to invest in Germany as a foreigner?
I have not found it to be a real problem to invest in Germany as a foreigner. I mean, my foreigner status has not really been an obstacle. There's no regulatory or other, you know, special requirements for me to invest as a foreigner. And Berlin has been, I think, relatively easy because it is, in the last 20 years or so, become a very international destination for the tech business, for the startup community, especially if you're in the center of Berlin. So the language of, you know, work is often English. Also the whole supporting structure, right? Accounting, taxes, legal, etc., all can work with English. Although, of course, by now I have learned German and also, yeah, can do these things in German. But as a foreigner, I think Berlin has been actually quite welcoming.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. Excellent. What are the specifics or maybe also some challenges when entering the German startup ecosystem from abroad? So, for example, cultural or regulatory or also maybe network related?
I think for me, coming from both Silicon Valley and China, the Berlin or German way of doing things is more formal than I was really used to from other places. Yeah, everything. I think that's more a cultural thing. I think by German standards, Berlin is pretty informal from what I understand. But coming from, yeah, these other places, I think there's a lot more formality and a lot more, I think, tradition involved in that sense. There's also small things which I think are really obvious to Germans, which are not so obvious to somebody coming in from abroad. For example, the idea of Stammkapital, yeah, for investors, right? That you invest something and then somehow you need to buy these extra little shares that actually represent your shares literally one-to-one. These things do not exist in either the Chinese or the US system. And so there are little things like that where everybody else knows it and you come in and sort of feel a little odd because of that.
In our pre-discussions, you've emphasized the importance of actively participating in ecosystems, not just investing capital. Why is ecosystem participation, from your point of view, so critical, and especially for international investors?
Well, lots of reasons. I mean, one of that is, of course, access to deal flow, right? Everything that is desirable, you do not encounter just on the open market, generally speaking. You have to be in a network where other people, you know, actively think of you or involve you or at least let you know about interesting deals happening. So even, you know, just to be able to take part as an investor, it's important to have this kind of network available. The other part of the ecosystem is really, you know, what I learned from Silicon Valley is that there's a successful startup environment really requires a combination of talent development, entrepreneurial activities, as well as money. Yeah, all these things and the right regulatory policies and framework as well. So all these things need to be in place in order for startups to be able to be successful and eventually reach a successful exit. And yeah, if, you know, for international investors who have options to invest also in other parts of the world, the reason to invest in a place like Berlin is really related to what kind of ecosystem is available and the kind of access that they have to that ecosystem.
Are there things the Berlin ecosystem does particularly well? And conversely, are there areas where it could still learn from Silicon Valley, China, or elsewhere?
I think Berlin, being in the geographical center of Europe, and also, you know, obviously being part of Europe and the EU, is good at fostering projects which deal with multinational, multi-language, multi-currency, etc., you know, kinds of startups. In a way, it is fortunate, in a sense, because the EU provides these conditions that make it easy for the free flow of of people and of money, right, within the EU, so that you get founders here from all across Europe. And we are able to, you know, do things like sell to other EU countries without worrying about a lot of paperwork, right? So I think in Berlin, you can find people that can work in all kinds of languages, mostly the European ones, but also others. Yeah, so I think that's a real advantage that Berlin has. In terms of things it can learn, yeah, I mean, one, speed is a real issue. And I think connected with that is the scale, you know, to think large, right? To think about large markets, to think about truly big opportunities. I think that's something that Silicon Valley and China do better than we do.
It's nice that you said that we do. So you do identify with the Berlin ecosystem. That's very nice to hear. What advice would you give to foreign founders and investors who want to enter the Berlin ecosystem and don't yet have strong local partnerships?
I think reach out. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that I think Berlin does very well. It's quite accessible. You know, when I started, I think I talked to a few people and I introduced myself and I talked about what I'm interested in and what my experience is. And these people very kindly, you know, invited me to coffees and lunches and then introduced me to other people. And very rapidly, I got to know. Yeah, I got an entrance, right? So I think Berlin is, in that sense, still very tight-knit and manageable in size. Yeah, and people are, you know, willing to give attention to international founders and investors, even if, you know, they're not working at these huge numbers and valuations that Silicon Valley does.
And on the other hand, based on your experience, is there any advice you would give to Berlin founders or more generally founders who want to attract international investors?
I think going back to what I said earlier about thinking big, yeah, I think international investors are interested in extremely large addressable markets. And they want to see that you can get there very, very quickly. So I think, you know, not be limited by the relative small home markets here and really think about taking the business model international and other continents as quickly as possible.
In addition to startups, you also invest in education. For example, we already mentioned XU University. Why is education such a critical lever for innovation and long-term competitiveness?
Well, I think when people talk about investing, right, everybody talks about how you invest in the team and not in the business idea. Yeah, there's plenty of ideas out there, but there are only so many good founding teams and to actually execute on the ideas. So I think education is, you know, one of the ways where you develop the talent. And I think, you know, those of us in Germany know that there is a shortage of qualified labor force. Yeah, for a lot of these critical topics into the future. And education is how we develop and, you know, grow the talent pool that we need.
In Germany, there is often a skepticism towards private education. Sometimes it is seen even as a problematic or maybe unnecessary. How do you view this mindset, and especially also in the context of global competition for talent?
I think people go to higher education for different reasons. Yeah, I think Germany certainly has very excellent public universities and also excellent ecosystems around them. But I think private universities are often more nimble and better suited to students who really, you know, care about their careers. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a more straightforward path in that sense. You are clearly aiming yourself for a particular outcome, and this is better addressed, I think, through a private university if they offer the right kinds of programs. And also, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to go into startups right away, or if you want to go work for a startup right away, I think it's good to have a slightly different educational experience, one that better prepares you for that kind of, yeah, career future.
Let's take a look ahead. With rapid advances in artificial intelligence or AI and automation, many people are asking where new jobs will emerge in the future. From your perspective as an investor, which skills or profiles will become especially important in the coming years? And how should education systems adapt?
Well, I think the focus is going to be really less on performance of specific tasks and more on understanding what the tasks actually do for a process, a business, the outcomes that you want to reach, right? So it's more about ability to think through the process, to really understand what you're trying to do, and to be able to then select and use the right tools in order to help you get there. So in that sense, you mentioned AI and automation. We are finding that, you know, instead of just taking away jobs, yeah, they certainly are taking away jobs, but there are many new jobs of the future being created through these technologies. And I think you cannot assume that, you know, any specific tool at any specific time is going to stick around for very long. So to be able to understand what you're trying to do with that tool, what is the product you're trying to develop, or what kind of business model you're trying to develop, and how you can best select the tools to assist you in that process. Yeah, so that you still stay in charge of what you're trying to achieve, rather than saying, okay, my worth is in doing one specific task. I think that's going to be critical moving forward. And education systems need to be able to support you in that, to develop these kinds of critical thinking skills, to be able to also help you understand, yeah, what does it mean, right? If you're doing a business program, if you're doing, you know, a technical program, what is the essential job function, right? Not so much that you are developing, I don't know, learning to write lines of code, or that you are learning to do accounting, yeah? But the concepts behind it and the critical sort of human function behind it and the real intelligence behind it.
Thank you so much, Erin, for sharing your unique perspectives on investing ecosystems and talent development. That's really valuable. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And one final note to our listeners, if you are interested in international innovation, ecosystems, investment, and talent development, you will find further episodes, resources, and training opportunities at the China Competence Training Center. Check out our website at www.chinacompetence.de.